So good to see y'all tonight. Man, I got blessed. Chris Bauer just come up and give me some hot pepper jelly. That's what I'm talking about right there. The Spirit of God is in the house because food is coming. So good to see y'all tonight. Thanks for being here on a Wednesday night. So excited about what God did Sunday. And thank you for all of you who have been praying for us and praying for my recovery physically and feel better this week than I have in probably 5 weeks. I just thank God for the anointing here that no matter who's using the microphone, God gives the increase. The Apostle Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And God spoke in such a powerful way to us Sunday in the steps we can take, finding life after loss, things you can do. And then John Wilde took the mic and extended the invitation for people who want to join God's family to do that. I know he had 6 people first service, and he stopped counting at 8 second service. So we'll just be safe and call it 14 Sunday morning. That's amazing. Amen. People saying, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And not just an easy believism, but saying, look, there's more to this than just saying, hey, we want to make sure everyone understands that walking with Christ is a daily thing. It's not a one-time decision. Amen. And so I'm excited to do life with you, and that's what I mean when I say that. Got some really great announcements for you. If you like Southern Gospel music, we have the absolute prince of Southern Gospel coming. Jason Crabb is going to be here May 29th. Guy is incredible, and you do not want to take that morning off. If y'all love Ronnie Harrison Jr., then Jason is a lot like that and can sing. He's a singer, and you don't want to miss it. I promise you, it's not going to be a sleeping morning in any way. Also, if you haven't been baptized in water, July 10th is your morning, and we encourage you to sign up at the info desk in the lobby. We'd love to get you more information and help you understand what water baptism is all about. I said it jokingly Sunday. I said, how many of you have been baptized? And lots of you raised your hand. I said, how many of you have been sprinkled? And had a few of you raise your hand. And I said, you're saved in spots. But baptism, it's not optional for a believer, amen? We don't get hung up on stuff like that. You're still going to heaven, amen? Amen? It's about what goes on in your heart, right? The sacrament doesn't save you. I can put you in the water all day long, but unless you've been washed in the blood, it don't do no good. I promise you, that pond water is not going to save you. Let's see, what else do we have there, Michael? Mother's Day coming up May 8th. That's one of the greatest days in my mind to be in the house of God. And we have something very special for you that morning. So we encourage you to be here. And that's a week from this Sunday. And then also this Sunday, hell no. All the kids are out of the room. So look at your neighbor and tell them hell no. See, I wouldn't do that Sunday. But I'm going to preach on hell. We're not going to preach on heaven and not preach on hell. There is both. And God only gives you one of two options, heaven or hell, eternal reward or eternal retribution. And so we're going to talk about that. And I promise you there's going to be some things that come out of that. If you think, well, I don't need to come to church that day because I'm headed for heaven, I'm free from hell. I promise you there's going to be some stuff that comes out of that that's really going to help you in your walk with Jesus and break deception off of believers' lives who think they can live any way they want and still be okay. Amen? Well, that's fun. Tonight, I wanted to take some time to answer some questions with you guys that I believe are on many people's minds when it comes to death. And I want to interrupt our intercession series to do this. And tonight, we're going to tackle some tough topics with some very real answers. Some things that I believe will help you. How many of you know tonight that it's not enough for us to know what we believe? We've got to know why we believe it. Okay? You have to have the foundation to stand upon. It's not enough to just say, well, I believe this. Well, why do you believe it? Where can you show it to me in God's word? And we live in a world that is very postmodern. It is very post-Christianity. You have to be prepared and have an answer on your lips for people around you so that you don't go, well, I just believe what I believe and that's it. Amen? You've got to be able to defend the faith, okay? And so we do that by using the Word of God. Paul was great at being a defender of the faith, And, you know, we live in a fun time to be alive, but you can't have the ostrich mentality that you're going to stick your head in the sand and everything's going to be okay when they're switching the labels on bathrooms. I'll save that for another night. Okay, but I will just put a quick disclaimer on it. We love you if you believe you're transgender, and we're thrilled you're here. But at Victory Church, we're going to use the bathroom that associates itself with the genitalia God assigned to you when you were born. Now listen, it's just like the other messages we've done on this. It has nothing to do with discrimination or anything like that. There's a reason why our toilets in the men's restroom hang on the wall. So you ladies, if you feel froggy and you feel like a man on that day, well, but anyway, we'll get into that another day. But you look, hey, y'all, we got to be ready. This is the world we're living in. Amen. And I had a great conversation with Miss Ashley Wilson about this. And she asked me the question, what do you think? People are boycotting Target. I said, no way. He called us to be the salt of the earth, light of the world. I'm going to keep going in there. Why would I pull out and let there be a vacuum for darkness to take over? Amen? Come on, y'all. God, there is a way to protest, but not without being a part. And I like John Wiles' idea the best. So we were in the office the other day, and he said to me, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to escort my wife and my girls into the women's restroom. I'll just stand there and make sure they're okay till they're done. That ought to raise some eyebrows. So if you see Minister Wile on WETM, it ain't because he's a perv. If you are, I'll break your legs. Okay, so tonight I want to answer three questions. I want to go over them, and I've got a lot of scripture I want to hit with you. If you brought a pen and paper, I want you to get it out and follow along with me on this. And the first one I want to begin with in talking about the topic of understanding some of these difficult things in death, these tough topics with very real answers from God's Word, is the subject of miscarriages, stillbirths, infants who are born and then pass away quickly. Eric and Linda, so great to see y'all tonight. Y'all give Eric and Linda some love right there. And then also abortions, because this is something that torments people. And I want you to know what the Bible has to say on this. And again, not just what we believe, but why we believe it. And answer the question, do babies go to heaven? Because this is something people ask and have on their minds. And at some point, you will meet somebody who has been through this. And you can use scripture to comfort them. And here's what I want you to know. When it comes to death in the womb, whether it was an abortion or a miscarriage or whatever it might be, you need to know that God is actively at work in the life of your baby while it is still in your body. Again, God is actively at work in your baby's life, even in the womb. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Who did that? God did. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Jeremiah says it like this. He says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's what God said to Jeremiah. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you or set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. There's a lot there that we could take a whole night on. But you've got to know that before he was ever even a glimmer in his dad's eye, God already knew him. Amen. And beyond that, God had sanctified him, set him apart from his mother's womb. God already had a reason for Jeremiah's life. I love that about our God. He doesn't create something and then give it a purpose. He has a purpose and then creates something to fulfill it. That means he makes, for lack of better words, tools to fit jobs. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're a tool. Use that in a positive way tonight. And then he said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In other words, God said, I have a specific purpose for your life. Can I tell you that Jeremiah was not just special for these reasons, but God has done those same three things in every single one of your lives sitting here tonight. Let me try it over here. God has done those same three things in every single one of your lives. He has a purpose for you. He has ordained you for a specific reason. He knew you before he created you in your mother's womb. Oh, praise God. And then the Apostle Paul in the New Testament echoes that in Galatians 1:15. He said, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. So God has a plan for people before he even creates them. In Luke chapter 1, we see where Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, as she's pregnant with Christ, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. They're both pregnant. Mary with Jesus and Elizabeth with John the Baptist. And the Bible says this, that when God spoke to Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, and told him what was going to happen, he says, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of God and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Watch this. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's. I thank God for that. That's a possibility. If you're pregnant, you ought to be praying that God fills that baby with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That womb is flooded with the presence of God's Spirit. But here's what I want to say to you there. Do you see that God is working in the womb? Do you see that God is a part of that person's life in the womb? The person, not just the mama, he is, but the person in the womb, their life is ordained, they're chosen, they're selected, they're being uniquely created by God. From the moment conception takes place, those fibers and those tissues, Kelly, are assigned DNA. They are a genetic code. They are a roadmap that tells that body as it will grow for the next however many years exactly what it's going to look like. God gave it that map at the beginning, right from the start. They could take that code, and if they could build a petri dish to grow it, it would grow into what that thing was assigned to be. What I am going to be does not change. I got Missy over here going, yes, you work in the medical field. It does not change once it's assigned. Back to our gender issues. Amen? We don't morph, okay? But I want you to notice what happens in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. As Mary goes and sees Elizabeth, the Bible says that she went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, verse 40, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. I like being around people that when I hear their voice, they make my baby leap. I know I'm a man, talk about some confusion tonight, but I got some things I'm pregnant with in the spirit. And when people get around me as iron sharpens iron and anointing sparks anointing, then all of a sudden something on the inside of me is going. Find those people and hang with them as much as you can. And the Bible says, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to take into account the way Jesus was with children. Jesus came, Kathy, to reveal to us who the Father is. He came to literally show us God. Okay? He came to put flesh and blood on who God is. He's the Word made flesh. Amen? And he said to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so let's take a look at how Jesus is with children, because we're answering this question. How does God handle when a child passes? In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, I love it says, and they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to him, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Now he said, little children. These are babies. These are little kids. Amen. He said the kingdom belongs to them. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter. And he took them up in his arms. Notice this. He took them up in his arms and he laid his hands on him. And what did he do next? He blessed them. So if Jesus accepted children and embraced children and blessed children while he was here on earth and said, don't send them away from me, bring them to me, then we can be safe to know that he's doing the same in heaven today when one of these little ones passes from this life into the next. Because Hebrews 13:8 declares emphatically that the God we serve and the Christ that has saved us is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. That means what you saw him do, he's still doing and he still will do. Does that make sense tonight? You with me in the logic there? Okay, I love that. Actually, if this is something that you have a friend who's struggling with this, or if that's yourself, we have a book in the bookstore called I'll Hold You in Heaven. It is absolutely excellent. It is free. And I encourage you, if you need one or have a friend who needs one, stop and pick one up and share it with them and use it as an opportunity to be an encouragement to them. Is there anyone here tonight that knows someone who either through stillbirth or miscarriage or anything that we've just talked about is struggling? Tina, will you go give that to Tina Kuhn, please? Thank you, Tina. Y'all encourage Tina tonight. Okay. Let's talk about another one that's relevant in our society and relevant today, and that's simply this. Let's talk about talking to the dead. Not walking dead, talking dead. Right? Okay, now, this I want to talk to you about because my bigger concern here than thinking you're actually doing this is the idea that when you're vegging out at night on the TV, there are so many of these shows on that there are believers that think this is an acceptable form of entertainment. And so I want to address this because it's real and it's water cooler talk, and I guarantee you, you know people who talk about it. And there's plenty of shows on there where mediums communicate with the dead for other people. Long Island Medium is one of them on TLC. There's a show called Medium. There's lots of them. They even get into that with some of this paranormal ghost activity where they're going to some mental asylum from 1502 and whatever it is they do in there, lick the walls and see if they can feel them vibrate or whatever. But anyway, it's just craziness. But anyway, I'd rather watch a bunch of rednecks pile up race cars. Lee, you know what I'm talking about. Give me some. Okay, talking to the dead. So here's the deal. Many times it's accurate, and here's what you see. The family or the viewers are all struck, and they're fascinated by it. And I want to walk you through some scriptures. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Now, Leviticus, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in there in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, but here's what you got to know. They were there for a purpose because God wanted his people to be different. And he said, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. We've talked about what those are. And do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. How many of you know God's a jealous God? And when you start looking to other things where you ought to be looking to him, he doesn't get too happy about that. I like the way the New Living says it. It says, do not defile yourselves by turning to mediums or to those who consult the spirits of the dead. I am the Lord your God. Now, understand that these were pagan practices. Fun little point there. I like to look up ancestry and where my people came from. And my last name, Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, actually used to be P-A-G-E-N. Pagan. So my people were unbaptized. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, they were pagan practices that God did not want his people participating in. I said they were pagan practices God did not want his people participating in. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 says, I will also turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution. So that's what God calls it when we do these kind of practices, spiritual prostitution, by putting their trust in mediums or in those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will cut them off from the community, so set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice. Woody, we got to be doers of the word, not not hearers only, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 says this: when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. Can I talk about America for a minute? If he can't pollute it, he'll dilute it. Verse 10, for example, never sacrifice your son or your daughter as a burnt offering. We think, well, we don't do that. Well, what do you call abortion then? We're sacrificing our babies and the next generation on the altar of sexual pleasure. That's exactly what they did. And do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. Verse 13, but you must be blameless before the Lord your God. Verse 14, the nations you're about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Do you see that? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. I love the book of Isaiah because it reveals to us more than anything else the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. And it says, someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. They will tell us what to do. It identifies why people go to these sources. Number one, it's very easily available. Number two, they're looking for someone to tell them what they ought to do. Can I tell you, as a born-again believer, you have the Word of God and He has deposited your spirit on the inside of you that He said is better than having Jesus right here next to you. You do not need to look to another person to find out what God's called you to do, what His will for your life is, and what His plan for your life is. If you don't get on your knees and do a little FaceTime seeking Him in His Word and in prayer, then you will never know God's will for your life, and you won't be able to walk in the fullness of everything He's provided. God has created you to do phenomenal things. I'm convinced the reason why most of us don't is because we refuse to pay the price to push away our plate, push away the crowd, and get alone in the prayer closet and just systematically and consistently find out where God wants us to go and what He wants us to do with our lives. He says, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to the God's instructions and teaching. People who contradict His word are completely in the dark. So, here's the thing. The Bible clearly forbids any type of attempt to contact those who have died. We talked about that in the first message in this series. We don't pray to the dead. We don't pray for the dead. When people die, their spirit is not free to roam wherever they choose. Jesus made that absolutely clear in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. They could not go where they wanted. When a human spirit dies, they're instantly and immediately in one of two places, heaven or hell. That's it. It's also important to see that the dead desired to communicate with the living. The rich man said, I want to send a message to my brothers, but it was not permitted. It was not permitted. You see that? So my question is, what then is going on and who are these people talking to? Because a lot of times they read their mail and they know things about them nobody could have ever known any other way. And that's what sets the hook and draws them in and fascinates them. And so we ask the question, who is it speaking through these mediums? And the answer to that question is the deceiver himself. It's Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. Watch. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of, not darkness, light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. One of the greatest threats to the church in the last days is deception. The greatest protection from deception is the truth. So I promise you, if you're not getting up and putting on the full armor of God, you're open to attack and susceptible to being deceived. That's why you couldn't pay me to miss being in God's word or being in God's house. because it protects us, it seals us, it secures us, and it strengthens us. So very important. Let's see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit." Here's what I want you to see. "You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God." There are a lot of things that go on in the name of God. Doesn't mean they're from God. Just because they say, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean it was from God. "For there are many false," what? "Prophets in the world." Now understand that that word there, false prophet, is only one word in the Greek, and it means a pretender, a religious imposter who claims special ability to see or receive revelation. So what happens is these individuals speak to the people who are seeking the dead, and they give them a little nugget. And it baits them. They give them something that's true, like a little crumb stringing them along on a trail. It leads them down a pathway. The problem is that pathway does not lead to God. It leads away from God. Okay? It is supernatural deception. Now, I'm going to skip talking about those who are natural deceivers. There is a show where an individual has, and people have studied and trained themselves so well to the human response, to watching body language and asking certain questions. I mean, you'd think they were operating by the Spirit of God, but it's not. They're just extremely good detectives. But there's supernatural deception most of the time going on here. Now, hear me when I say this. The Holy Spirit can reveal to an individual specific information concerning another person that can only be known through divine revelation. Y'all know the Holy Spirit can do that anytime He wants. Remember, God is omniscient, right? That means He's all-knowing. That means He knows it all and He sees it all. So it makes sense that His Spirit can then relay that information that He needs to use to a born-again, Spirit-filled believer He has chosen at any given moment to accomplish His will in another person's life. That's called the word of knowledge. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. If you're taking notes, please write that down. It's called the word of knowledge. But here's what I want to say to you. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit there. They are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Satan is not a creator. He is an imitator. He is never an innovator. He always twists and perverts what God has already done. So the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today, and the church needs them in operation, and we should be pursuing God and making ourselves available. You already have the Holy Ghost. And you got to make yourself available for Him to come and tap you on the shoulder and use you at any given moment in one of those supernatural gifts so that He can bring healing and wholeness into another person's life. Does that make sense? Okay, but here's my point tonight. Not only can the Holy Spirit do that, but evil spirits can also do that through people who, just like you, open themselves up to evil spirits. You open yourself up to the Holy Spirit to operate in their lives. That's what a medium is, a medium. When we send out a message on CD, that CD is the media. The media is just the transporter of the message. A medium, then, is a person who is just a transporter of that message. Does that make sense tonight? Are you with me? Okay. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, an amazing story. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly anointed..." He was ticked off. "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit," not to the woman. He spoke to the Spirit. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He spoke to what was at work behind the scenes in her life. We don't care what they're doing. We want to know why they're doing it. Amen. He said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out that very hour. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace, the authorities, and said," they're stirring up trouble. So here's what's cool. Here we see she lost her ability. that was so good, they were making, make it rain. They were bringing in the jack, right? Off of this girl's ability. But when Paul took authority over that demon, cast it out of her life, she could no longer operate it. So was it the woman giving her that ability or the demon? Do you really want to mess with that? You want to open that up? Open up an opportunity for that in your house? See, involvement with fortune telling, magic, psychic, seances, conversations with the dead are extremely dangerous for the believer, and God forbids all participation in the occult. I don't care what your background is. God's command, listen to this, to not talk with the dead is not because he's mean-spirited and doesn't want us to have meaningful interaction with our loved ones. It's because you're being duped. And so God is saying, I want you to be protected, because here's what you need to understand. In our desperation, it's easy for us to open the door to fraud in our life. We open the door to demonic when we entertain these type of things, okay? And Satan preys on the weak in moments of weakness. So here's what happens. They lose the loved one. They're devastated. They're heartbroken. They need some comfort. Some people might turn to drugs. Some might turn to alcohol. Some might turn to Jesus. But other people turn to these mediums because they need some level of comfort. And here's what you got to know. Satan makes a promise that he has no power to deliver on that leads them into greater bondage and hopelessness in their life. So if you have, this is important, if you have been involved in these occultic practices, then you need to do two things. Number one, you need to repent. Repent is not I'm sorry, repent is I'll change. I'm going to get into that Sunday. You'll go to hell for I'm sorry. You go to heaven for I'll change. Just smile at me. That's good preaching. Go on, you can give God a hand. You need to repent for it. You need to renounce it. Renounce it means, in the name of Jesus, I want nothing to do with this. It has no part of my life, and I cast it out in Jesus' name. And then you apply the blood of Jesus over your life. Our hope is not in getting information and communication through mediums. Our hope is in the God of the living and the dead. Amen. And so the truth will always bring us into a greater place of benefit, blessing, and freedom. You understand that tonight? That God doesn't just tell you things not to do so you can't have any fun. I'm sorry that you couldn't participate at your cousin's wedding who brought a fortune teller. Sorry. But here's the deal, y'all. That's an instruction manual. Just like anything else you buy, it tells you how to maximize the performance, extend the life, tells you about the manufacturer's warranty and how to get a recall. There's going to be a recall. The trumpet's going to blow and he's going to call us back home. Amen? Okay, so go ahead. Let's praise God. This helping anybody tonight? Even if you're not doing this stuff, I bet you know some people who do. So we've dealt with babies. Babies die. Where do babies go when they die? Well, they go to heaven, and we showed you why that's very specifically clear in God's word. Okay, and that's why I also told you that how we will look if they die a baby. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, they're earthly bodies and they're heavenly bodies. And so they're going to get one of them heavenly bodies. And like I said, God's the one who assigned the DNA. It ain't nothing for him to bring them up to the prime of their life. Amen? So that you can see what they look like. And that's why some scholars believe Jesus died at the age he did, because that's a prime of a male's life. So just interesting things to think about. You know, you're not going to go to heaven or hell one way or the other, whether you choose to believe it or not, but it gives you some tools to interact with other people and give them hope. I said give them hope. We got to give people hope. The last one I don't want to deal with tonight is the most difficult death in my mind to deal with, and that is suicide. How many of you know somebody who committed suicide? Lots and lots of people in this room. How many have had someone in your family commit suicide? Okay, lots of people in this room. Like I said, Sunday, the CDC just came out with a report last week that said suicide is the highest it's been in 3.5 decades. And out of all the population sectors, the one that has grown the fastest is young girls aged 10 to 14. And I want to tell you one reason for that. Very important, very big reason is, and you need to guard your kids and encourage your kids to guard their kids if you have grandkids, is social media. They're not old and, see, they're getting addicted to approval and they're putting their life out there and what they're saying is, love me, like me. And when people don't like what they see, these kids aren't old enough to handle that kind of rejection. And so I want to talk to this. The other reason why I want to talk about it is because mental illness has become an extremely big problem in our nation today. And for our veterans. 25 vets killing themselves a day. I sit in my office and think about it. I can't even wrap my head around that. Here, these people have given their lives in obedience to their country to do what they were asked to do, and they're struggling from PTSD so bad, and they're not getting the help they need that they find no hope, and they kill themselves. So let's talk about this for a minute, because I'm not going to be afraid to talk about stuff, and we're just going to identify it, whether it's abortion, homosexuality, whatever. I want to know what God's word has to say on it, because I believe no matter who you are, God wants to save everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I want to know, and I want you to know, very simply for this reason, we got to reach people, and we got to reach the people that have been reached. You know what I'm saying by that? Just because they made a decision don't mean it's all done. Okay? He said, I want you to make disciples. So let's talk about this. With a suicide, it comes with tremendous, not only devastation, but it comes with a lot of confusion. Everything you would experience as a loved one who's left behind in a normal death becomes exponentially exaggerated. And then there's something else that happens because there are so many stereotypes that surround suicide, and it's so taboo to even talk about that. And I believe the church has done a poor job with this, because you can't just write people off and act like God and tell them where you think they are, where they are. That don't help them any anyway. The person who already is dead is gone. Let's help the ones who are living. And so here's what you need to know there. There's a sense of shame many times about the way their loved one died that drives them into hiding, but isolation is always a tactic to the enemy that he uses to bring destruction into people's lives. Because here's the reality, y'all. Think about the nuts and bolts of that. How do you even begin to explain what happened? People don't kill themselves because everything's right. So for those who are living and have to pick up the pieces and they're talking to their friends and they're talking to those who know, it leaves a tremendous burden on them of explanation. And many times they carry the guilt of that. And even people on the outside many times will keep distance because they don't know how to deal with it. I'm sharing these truths with you tonight, again, as an after-the-fact perspective. But I want every one of you to know that every week we come in these doors. We do everything we can, and we're seeking God and praying that people would experience joy that's unspeakable, the hope of God, love that never fails. They would experience what it means to be a part of a fellowship and the family of God that is functional and not dysfunctional. This is a house of healing. I mean, I could tell you one story of after another about the total carnage in people's lives that is healed here, and we want to see the peace of God make people whole, peace that passes all understanding. So it's on all of us to make sure that every time we come together, you understand that it might just be church for you, but it's life and death for somebody else. And that's why I preach like a dying man to dying men. You ever hear the desperation in my voice? It's life and death every single week. We've had 4 people in 2 years that come through this church that committed suicide. I need to be able to reach them. Some of them I looked dead in their eyes and did everything in my power, Tim and Deb, we did, to encourage and speak life in them. And we life can be tough, but that's no reason to take it. Amen? I want you to know tonight that suicide is not the will of God. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons why right now. Number 1, Let's move through these. Suicide is a violation of God's commandment against murder. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not what? Murder. Suicide is self-murder. It's taking your own life. And let me tell you, Revelation 21, 8, and hang with me. You need to hear everything I've got to say tonight. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Number two, suicide is a violation of God's commandment to love yourself. Matthew 22, 37. First and greatest commandment, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as your. You shall love your neighbor as your. Is the emphasis on your neighbor or on you? It's on you first, because if you don't love you, you can never love them. If you don't accept you, you can never accept them. So this is a person who does not love themselves. They hate themselves. They despise themselves to the point that they want to do away with their life because there is no hope. Number three, suicide is a violation of God's commandment to honor our bodies. He made our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus. So you must honor God with your body. Now understand, I'm talking tonight to Christians. It doesn't matter if a person who's unbeliever shoots themselves. They're going to hell either way. Right? We get really twisted up, and we need help in the church when it's believers that we see doing these type of things. Number four, suicide is contrary to God's plan that we would be a blessing to other people. Genesis 12 to Abraham, the father of our faith, the one who is the father of all of us Gentiles, God said, I will make you great. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Why are you blessed? To be a blessing. The world needs you. You have something to offer. Suicide, therefore, is the ultimate act of selfishness that doesn't just rob you, it robs the world. And the fifth one tonight is that suicide overrides God's plan for your life. You are literally playing God when you do this. He's the author of life. He's the giver of life. He determines our days, not me. When I commit suicide, I have stepped into God's role, Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? Okay, now hang with me. Suicide is a rejection of God's purpose for your life. Now, there are multiple examples of suicide in the Bible. Y'all know King Saul and his armor bearer. After losing one of their battles, fighting a losing battle, they both fell on their sword and killed themselves. Okay? Now, this wasn't one act of disobedience. This was one after another, after another, after another. This was a habitual lifestyle. Okay? But they were fighting a losing battle. I want you to think about that. Many people commit suicide when they're fighting a losing battle. Then there's a man by the name of Ahithophel. I haven't heard that one. Maybe it'll be the top this year's favorite names for boys. I don't know, but Ahithophel. And he was a government advisor that felt so rejected when they didn't use his advice and his idea that he went and hung himself. How many people in times have you heard of that happening? Well, I'll show them suicides. And that's exactly what happened. The first one was 1 Samuel 31, 4 and 5. That one, 2 Samuel 17, 23. Then we have Judas Iscariot, who after he had betrayed Jesus was overcome by regret. Y'all know Judas regretted what he did. He took the money back and threw it at their feet. There's a good chance he actually thought he was helping the kingdom come faster. But either way, he regretted what he did. And he was so overcome by the failure and by the memory of what he had done that he said, I can't live another day. How many people commit suicide because there is no more light on their horizon? Because they have failed in the past and they cannot find it in themselves to forgive themselves for what they've done. And so they commit suicide. My point there is that suicide is listed as an ungodly behavior in your Bible and as an example of what not to do ever. Amen? Now that part of it's common sense to all of us. But when a family experiences this type of loss, they're concerned about where their loved one will be. And so hear me when I say suicide is never, somebody say never, the will of God for any person at any time for any reason. I want you to read that with me. Suicide is never the will of God for any person at any time for any reason. Now, I want to be very careful with what I'm about to say right now, and I want to put this disclaimer on it because I want to speak to believers who have lost a loved one to suicide. And I want you to hear me when I say what I'm about to tell you is not a justification to take your own life. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 says, "For if we willfully sin after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour our adversaries." Tonight, it's my desire on this topic to put enough reverential fear of God in you that you will never, ever, ever do this to yourself, but at the same time impart enough grace into your life that you will never again look down on anyone or any family who has. Because that's where compassion can begin to be released, okay? Is it possible to be sick in your mind as much as it is to be sick in your lungs? Is your mind an organ? Yes? Is it possible to be sick in your mind just as much as it would be to be sick in your bones? Or in your heart? Or in your liver? Or in your kidneys? See, mental illness is a tremendous issue in our nation. And many of the medications that are used to treat it have suicide as a side effect. When they go on it, while they're taking it, when they come off of it. One of our beloved brothers had run out, called the doctor, was waiting on his next prescription. They said, "We won't refill it till the doctor sees you again." He committed suicide in the interim. With mental illness, is it possible for judgment to be severely impaired? Just as much as physical activity is severely impaired if you're sick in your body. You can't function the same at the same level, right? Okay? And many times people, when they go through these, If you've experienced bipolar disorder or know people who have manic episodes, or some people call them spells, and they're out of touch with reality and there's no reasoning with them. And it's important that we not be judgmental because we don't know the pain. We don't know the perceptions, the lens they're looking through. We don't know the pressures. And so as I think about Scripture, again, it's not enough to know what I believe. I got to know why I believe it, because I got to defend it with that book, not my opinion. So here's what Jesus says. In Luke 23, 34, he's hanging on the cross. And he begins to intercede for his executioners. And he says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." You think that could fit to people who have mental illness, who act irrationally? Do they know what they're doing? If you've ever encountered or worked with them or loved them or been there to care for them, then you know they don't know what they're doing in those moments. Amen? People experiencing PTSD and the list goes on, this applies. So let me ask you another question as we follow this path of reasoning from God's word. Would someone go to hell just because they're sick in their body? So would God send them to hell if they're sick in their mind? Somebody's getting free right now from some things that may have tormented you for year after year after year. We can't handle suicide any different than any other death. It's still a death. And we got people left behind with the carnage we got to help. And we serve a God who is just, and who is righteous, and who is perfect, and who is holy, and who never slips up, and who never makes a mistake. And I have absolute confidence in Him that He will always do what is right. Not in my eyes, but in His eternal eyes. That's good news. That's good news. Stand with me tonight. The gospel is good news. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, God, that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it separates between soul and spirit. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your truth releases that healing balm that would restore souls that have been shattered by suicides tonight. For those that have been operating in the occult, God, tonight we declare freedom in their lives. We break and bind every bondage in their life. We apply the blood of Jesus over every doorway they knowingly or unknowingly open. Father, for those that are here tonight that have lost babies, small children, miscarriages, or committed abortion, Father, we pray for them tonight that they would find comfort in knowing that that little one is in your arms and they'll get to see him again. I thank you, Father, for that today. I thank you that you're the God of all comfort. I thank you that you're a God of hope. I bind the spirit of suicide and premature death in the name of Jesus. I release the healing power of God that flows to this day through the stripes Jesus took on his back for every person that is struggling with mental or emotional illness and disorders. I release life to them. I release health to them. I release wholeness to them tonight in the name of Jesus, that we will see miracles, God, that nobody can take credit for but you. Miracles in minds, miracles in emotions, people that have been defined by that. God, I thank you tonight that the doctor's diagnosis does not have to be their definition. We look to you tonight in Jesus' name, and we declare that by your stripes we are healed, and we thank you and we give you praise and glory now. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus over every heart, over every home. We declare by faith, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, I thank you now for saving us, for setting us free, and for loving us. We give you glory and praise. And all God's people said, come on, let's give Jesus the ovation tonight. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I can't wait to see you Sunday.